Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday morning, 8:05 a.m. for 55 minutes. First half of the hour, teaching from God's Word. In the last half of the hour, we're going to bring you some great contemporary Christian and gospel music. And so once again, we say welcome to each and every one of you, especially if you've tuned in this morning for the very first time. We say welcome to you, and we ask you to come back each and every Sunday morning and make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. And for those of you who have been faithful listeners now for many months and years, we're grateful for you. We say thank you to you, and we hope you continue to come back each and every Sunday morning as well. And we invite each and every one of you to tell a friend and let other people know that this ministry is coming on at this time on this station, and to share it with others that there's a good teaching, a good ministry, and some good music here. And we just thank you for getting the word out. We thank you for the provision that has made these broadcasts possible for many years now. And so we're grateful to the Lord, and we're grateful to you as you listen in and tune in each Sunday morning. There's a couple of ways that you can partner with us here at Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. First, we ask for your prayer support. We ask you to lift us up in prayer, not only for this radio ministry, but for other things that are happening in the ministry. This weekend, we're in Syracuse, Kansas, doing a church revival, three services down there. And at the time that I'm speaking to you, also making plans to go back to Africa late in the summer and do some crusades there. One in Uganda will be my first trip into Uganda this year. And also in Kenya, we're lined up to do a three-day crusade at a Christian university in Nairobi, Daystar University. And so that'll be exciting, and then possibly the door is opened for us to go back to the Congo again. So I ask for your prayer support for those things. If you would like to be an intercessor, if you'd like to be kept up with the current events of this ministry and notified when extra prayer support is needed, just send me an email at pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com. And let me know you want to be on the mailing list, and I'll get an email to you and let you know what's going on with the ministry. And also, when I'm in Africa or doing international ministry, I will let you know what's happening on the field and give you updates as often as possible. Secondly, if you would make a contribution to help pay for this radio airtime, we would be very grateful for that, and you would be blessed by the Lord. And many people have helped over the years to help pay for this radio airtime. It helps take this message into the prison and locally here out about 60 miles. And in addition to that, we're posting the radio messages on the website, gatheroutcast.com, so you can check them out there if you want to hear it a second time, or email it or forward it to someone else. You can check it out on the website, the radio messages, and also across the airwaves through the internet around the world. These messages are reaching into Kenya and into Africa. And so we're just grateful to the Lord to be able to come and share the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. And we're just grateful to the Lord for what he's doing in this ministry and for the provision for it. And so again, if you would check out that website, gatheroutcast.com, that's gatheroutcast with an S.com. And also there's a teaching blog, jimrau.blogspot.com, jimrau.blogspot.com. And the teaching blog now has over 300 teachings on different subjects: sexual immorality, gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare, prophetic dreams and visions. And so just check out that blog, jimrau.blogspot.com, and again the website, gatheroutcast.com, and you can see videos and pictures of past mission trips and past crusades in Africa. And there's lots to look at there on the website, so check that out at gatheroutcast.com. There's also a PayPal button where you can conveniently and safely make a contribution with your credit card through the PayPal opportunity, through the PayPal button there, both on the blog and on the website. So once again, our mailing address, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. And the website, gatheroutcast.com, and the email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. And so I just ask you to pray about your part in helping to support this ministry. I ask you to pray about your part in helping to contribute to pay for this radio airtime, and just come before the Lord. Just ask the Lord what you would do to help this ministry to get the word of the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, out into this region, into this area, into the prison, and also into foreign lands, the nations across the earth. And so we're just thankful that you're listening today. And we're going to have a teaching here in just a minute. Our teaching is going to be on spiritual warfare. I'm starting a new series on spiritual warfare. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to start in verse 10. And we'll take that up in just a minute, right after our prayer time. And we'll start up that teaching here in just a minute. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for those out there listening today. We ask you to touch them, bless them, keep them, Lord. We ask you to encourage and strengthen those that need encouragement and strengthening. We ask you to give a touch of healing for those who have physical infirmity and spiritual roadblocks, spiritual bondages. Lord, we ask you to set free and deliver those who have spiritual roadblocks and bondage. We pray for deliverance. Lord, I thank you for those in the prison that are listening today. I ask you to bless them. I pray for their families, their children especially. We pray for this country, for our president, for the Supreme Court, for the Congress, Lord, as many weighty decisions are being made right now regarding the finances of this nation and other issues of great importance to the people. And so we just ask you to bless the Congress with wisdom. And we pray for our troops, especially those in Afghanistan and places where they're in harm's way. We ask you to be with them and strengthen and encourage them, protect them. We pray for the families of the troops, and we ask you to bless the children. We pray for those who are in bondage and slavery all across this earth, Lord, especially those trapped in sexual slavery and those types of bondages. Lord, we pray that you would bring deliverers and just encourage and strengthen the body, that we can make an impact to change this country, to change the countries of the earth. And we just praise your name, Lord, for this radio broadcast. We thank you for the provision. And Lord, we look to you to continue to provide, Lord, that we can speak the truth, we can speak the message of the gospel, and we can reach those who are lost, Lord, and we can bring the outcasts into your kingdom. We pray this all in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. We're going to start a series on spiritual warfare, and I've taught on spiritual warfare before, but it's a deep subject, and it always pays to go back and review, and it pays to go back and study it over and over, because we need to come into the realization, brothers and sisters, we need to be cognizant of the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. And I think this last week brought it into sharp focus, as you know, the controversy surrounding Tim Tebow, how he backed out of speaking at a church in Texas because he did not want to be deemed controversial. He gave in to pressure. And so we know that we're in a spiritual battle if strong Christians start to flinch and start to back away. And so we know that we're in a spiritual battle, and we're in a battle for our families. We're in a battle for our communities. We're in a battle for this nation. And as we realize that this battle is a battle to the death, and it's a battle over your soul, and the devil wants to take our children, he wants to steal their innocence, he wants to steal their souls through media and through the world that attacks them at their schools and workplace and everything else. And so we need to understand that we're in a spiritual battle, and that the only way that we're going to gain victory in this battle is we're going to have to get on the side of the victor. We're going to have to get on the side of the captain of the Lord of hosts. And when you're fighting this battle from his point of view, when you're fighting standing on the side of Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord of hosts, you know that you are going to be victorious no matter what the circumstances may say, no matter what the current political climate may reveal. If you're standing with Jesus Christ and you're standing shoulder to shoulder with other strong believers and others that are strengthened in the faith, you're going to be on the side of victory. Well, Ephesians 6 is a classical scripture about an introduction to spiritual warfare, and Paul tells the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, in verse 10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, this is the evil day. I don't think I need to tell you that. I think you're well aware of that already, that this is the evil day, and it was an evil day in Paul's day that he is referring to, but it's even more evil now, and as we wind down the clock to the return of Jesus Christ, the devil is going to pull out all the stops to trick and deceive and lie and steal and kill from the body of Christ, from the believers. And the devil is going to ratchet up the pressure of temptation. He's going to ratchet up the pressure of deceit. And so it's going to be more important than ever before, brothers and sisters, that you have the gift of discernment and that you understand the battle that you're in, that you study the enemy, and that you come to know the enemy that you're battling against, and that you spend your days in prayer and in Bible study and in the fellowship and the teaching that I've been teaching for the last month or so, walk in the Spirit, that is appropriate here in spiritual warfare, that you know your enemy and that your own strategy against the enemy is to walk in the Spirit, which is spend time daily studying God's Word, spend time daily on your knees in prayer, speaking to the Lord and letting Him speak to you, and then on a regular basis be in the fellowship and be strengthened and encouraged as you are in the fellowship. Be strengthened and encouraged in your walk, and also that you can strengthen others who are in the walk along beside you. And Paul, again in verse 12, he delineates four different aspects of the hierarchy of Satan's kingdom. He says, our battle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, our battle is not against people. Your struggle isn't against your boss. It's not against your wife. It's not against your children. It's against the demonic forces that are controlling their behavior or encouraging certain behavior. He says, our battle and our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so that's the hierarchy. Satan has his hierarchy. He has his strategic placement for his demons that he sends out to do the dirty work. And so we know that just as God has his kingdom hierarchy, Jehovah the Father and Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then the angels who do the bidding or do the actual warfare for God, so too then Satan has his kingdom that mimics the kingdom of God. Well, Ephesians, the second chapter, Paul says to the Ephesians, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And so Paul says there in verse 2, Ephesians 2:2, you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And so basically what Paul is saying is that there's a course in this world, and that course is controlled and dictated by Satan, the prince of the power of the air. He's the one that is calling the shots for all the demons. He's the one that is directing their activities. He's the one that sends the demons to torment you and tempt you. And he's the one who rebelled against God. We'll look at that scripture here in just a minute, that Satan rebelled against God and was thrown down out of heaven. He was once one of the angels in heaven, the anointed cherub in heaven. And Paul says, you once walked the course of this world, and then you came out of that. You came out, you came out of the prince of the power of the air. And so Paul then goes on then to explain to the Ephesians that by grace they've been saved through Jesus Christ. By grace they have been saved. And that is the glorious work of Jesus on the cross, to shed his blood for us, that we could know him for all eternity, and we could know eternal life with Jehovah God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, Paul again in Colossians talks about this domain of darkness, and he tells in Colossians 1:13, he says, for God delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so Paul again reiterates what he said back in Ephesians, that the domain of darkness also has a hierarchy to it. In verse 16 he says, Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. And that's a description of all the different realms of the demons. That's the different realms of the demonic hierarchy. And he says, all things have been created by Jesus and for him. Well, Jesus didn't create them with the intention that they would rebel and become the domain of darkness that he has delivered us from. That wasn't his intention. They were created to be angels in heaven, to worship and to adore their creator, and to love and be in loving admonition and be with their creator. But that wasn't the plan that Satan had. Satan got too proud of his beauty. He got too proud of who he was, of his position, and so he fell from heaven. And Jesus talks about here in Luke 10, after he had sent the disciples out, Jesus sent the 70 disciples out to cast out demons and heal the sick, and tell those that they were speaking to that the kingdom of God has come near to you. And in verse 17, Luke 10, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. And so we find that the disciples were pretty excited to come back and report to Jesus what he already knew, that the demons and the evil spirits were subject to them, that they were subject to the authority and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, well, I know about this guy Satan. He said, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And so this is a description of the rebellion of Satan in heaven. This is a description of Satan as he fell from heaven like lightning. Jesus said, I was there. I created him. I watched him. I watched him fall. And of course, we know from Revelation 12, verse 2 and 3, we know that the great dragon, it's a description there of that fall, that the great dragon swept his tail and he took a third of the stars of heaven with him. And so when Satan fell, a third of the stars in heaven went with him. And these are the fallen angels. These are the angels that became demons and have tormented you and tormented me and tormented our families and wreaks such havoc here on this earth. And so that demonic realm is very active because they know about Jesus Christ. They know about God. They were there in heaven with them. And so this demonic realm is very active. Satan is very active. And as the end day draws near, he's going to be more active. He's going to be more determined to destroy the church. He's going to be more determined to destroy believers. And as you take a look at what's happening in America today and many of the nations across the earth, you'll see that the kingdom of heaven is in a battle. But I know who the victor is. I know the captain of the Lord of hosts. And so if you get on the side of the victor, brothers and sisters, you will be comforted and you will come out victorious. You just have to stand fast on the side of the victor. Well, in Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. And so Jesus wasn't talking there about literal serpents and scorpions. He wasn't intending for people to go out and stomp on snakes and on scorpions, though I have done that myself in Arkansas and and in Costa Rica. We slept in some places out in the jungle in Costa Rica where you had to stomp on the scorpions literally before you go to bed. You shined your flashlight around the corners of the room and spent some time stomping on scorpions. But what Jesus was referring to was the spiritual battle that each of us as believers is going to encounter, that each of us as believers is going to be engaged in this spiritual battle. And Jesus says, I've given you the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. And so as you trust in Jesus, as you go forward in your battle day after day and trust in Jesus, you will encounter the enemy. And if you're not encountering the enemy, I would question whether you're really a born-again believer. I would question whether you're really doing anything for the kingdom. If the enemy has no interest in you, that might tell you something about your kingdom walk right there. If the enemy has no interest in coming after you or taking you away from your destiny or your calling, well, that might give you some indication that your kingdom walk is pretty weak and really isn't much of a threat to the enemy. Well, back in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, back in Isaiah 14, we get a picture of Satan as he is in heaven with the Lord and his mindset, how he decided to take a chance and take over the throne of God. In Isaiah 14, this is a taunt against the king of Babylon, and you have to look through this passage of Scripture to see that it's really talking about Satan, that it's really talking about the anointed cherub and how he was in heaven and his mindset, how he came to the place of pride in his beauty, how he came to the place of being proud to the fact where he thought he could take over God and take over the throne of God. In Isaiah 14, verse 11, your pomp and the music of your harps have brought you down to Sheol. That is hell. The Old Testament word for Sheol is hell. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And so there are the five I wills. Five different times Satan said, I will, I will, I will. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. And then the answer to that, to Satan's boasting and to Satan's pride, nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? All of the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb, but you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain who were pierced with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a trampled corpse. Well, that is a description of Satan. He was enamored with his pride. He was enamored with his beauty. He was enamored with his power. And so he came to the point where he wanted to ascend to heaven and take over above the stars of God. He wanted to raise his own throne up. And I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to study that chapter 14 in Isaiah to get a picture of Satan. God hates pride. He says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. And God hates pride. He hates those who exalt themselves above him. He hates idolatry, those who put things, created things, above the Creator. And so I would just encourage you to read that Isaiah 14 and get a picture of Satan and get a picture of his mindset as he attempted to dethrone God. Well, brothers and sisters, spiritual warfare is just as real as that chair you're sitting on. It's just as real as anything that you can see. The only thing is invisible. It's in the invisible realm. And so the more you come to know about spiritual warfare, the more you will be equipped for the battle that you're in. You will be equipped for the battle and be able to engage the battle and come out victorious. As I've said before, if you're standing on the side of the victor, of the captain of the Lord of hosts, of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, if you're standing on his side of the battle, you're going to be victorious no matter what the circumstances and the events of the day say. Well, take Jesus seriously, brothers and sisters. He is your captain of hosts. He is your strength in the battle. He is your banner. He is your banner in the heat of the battle. And I think we can all say safely that the battle is starting to really rage. And brothers and sisters, what's coming to America, you have not seen even the tip of the iceberg yet of the battle that's coming. I would say get Jesus on your side, or you, better yet, you get on the side of Jesus and swear your allegiance to him. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, accept him as your Lord, to say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take over. I want to submit myself to you. I want to be your servant, your bond servant. And if you do that, if you confess your sins, repent of your sins, and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he will be faithful and true to save you. Follow it up with a baptism, and you will then be enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will be saved for all eternity. Well, next week we're going to